Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. With tonight's guest, founder, educator, and researcher, Barry Bruder.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Noah Solt. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Tonight's a very, very special show. I am quite excited about it, for myself even. You know how you have close friends and then life changes and you each do your own thing and then you come again together and you realize what special friends you were, but also in some cases people will say same old. We want to think about that because life has changed. In this case, nothing of the sort. When you come away from reconnecting with an old friend and you say, wow, I am so proud of him. And interestingly enough, I said, wow, I am so proud of him throughout our friendship. And when I met him, I think I said, wow, I am so impressed with him. So this is nothing new. And talk about life changes or recalibrating. In the case of our guest, I have noticed him become more him in everything that he's done, and the conviction to grow in the areas that he has either had a calling or been guided. And we'll talk a little bit about this because I think it's important to know where this comes from and what it is today and where it's going. So obviously been following some kind of guidance and it's not just me saying it. I shared with another friend saying, I'm so excited, Barry Bruder is going to be on the show. And the friend said, Barry Bruder, now there's a guy who really cares about helping people. And you can tell him I said so. And I said, tell me more. He's like, oh, you know, you recommended I took his course. And so at the time he was doing courses, he was doing one-on-ones, he was doing therapy, he was doing pediatric AIDS, a non-profit organization. He was doing so much, and he's gone on to do so much as well as have a family and all that. But I have to tell you, when I've read the works of and actually been introduced to him by our guest, when I've read the works of and know that the famous Dr. Schallenberger of Nevada Center of Alternative and Anti-Aging Medicine said about him and his work, which we'll talk about, IASSIS, IASIS, MCN, has helped people that I had no solution for. And I have been a doctor for 45 years. Ryan McWhorter from Alabama Functional Medicine said, it's a groundbreaking technology that is nothing short of a miracle, relieving countless individuals suffering daily. And Dudley Chewing from Integrative Treatment Services says, I rely on IASIS MCN for a highly effective approach to address PTSD in first responders and abused children. When I say I'm proud of our guest and my friend, I'm proud of him.
I think this is such an important conversation because there's obviously such a expanding conversation around the science and research and different perspectives on that. And I think it gets lost that there is so much good research and good science by well-intended intellectual and experience rather than, you know, just the profiteering part of it as well. So I can't wait to learn more tonight.
And the heart that has gone into actually finding the people and doing the research and bringing this all together. And that's what I'm getting at is, remember, Mark, I used to say, someday we're going to care about the president of a potato chip company. And it we'll decide if we want to buy that potato chip based on, you know, what the heads of the companies are like.
The heart. That's a novel concept, bringing that into the businesses. Yes,
right,
for sure.
We're going to be talking about the brain, but it comes from the heart. And therefore, I am really pleased to bring on our guest for today. So we have titled this episode, thanks to his work, Innovative Technologies and Holistic Healing for Stress, Anxiety, PTSD, and so much more. He is, besides being my friend, a researcher, an educator, and co-founder, and innovator in microcurrent neurofeedback of iASYS MCN. Welcome, Barry Bruder, to the Life Changes Show, finally.
Gentlemen, good to be with you. What a privilege. And I was listening to all that going, who is that that he's talking about? I want to meet that person.
Oh, not I'm not even started. You want me to go? I could go.
No, you don't have to go. And I have missed you, my friend. And it's very, very good to be with you and Mark and to have the privilege of sharing about this groundbreaking, truly life-changing technology. I try to stay away from hyperbole, but my favorite saying is mamas don't lie. And when you have a little boy you're working with who had no language prior, and after a few sessions of saying mama, dada, it's pretty huge for that family, or a Marine that's been blown up a few times with significant diminishing of their symptoms related to PTSD, or individuals with cravings that diminish those cravings, the number of conditions for which it is so helpful exceeds comprehension. And unless I'd experienced it, I never would have believed it. But the science, as you said, Mark, it speaks for itself. And I always say in our country and in our world, if you don't have science, you're just a nice person with a nice idea.
I want to get back to the mama and the child, but before we do that, and you're speaking of science, in case we don't get back to this, there's actually a study or two or three, right? And one with your name on it and the technology at one of the most prestigious universities in the world in this area, right?
Absolutely. University of California, San Diego, and the VA both joined up for a pilot study that published in September of 17 in Brain Injury Journal, proving in neuroimages changes to the brain that were very positive and helpful after having this treatment.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so it's interesting. You started with mamas don't lie and the little boy who had not spoken in his whole life, and the technology supported him greatly and continues to, I understand. Mama, let's talk about, because the heart of this started long time ago for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it really did. When I was a kid, my mom had a lot of challenges, and at the age of 5, when someone asked me what I wanted to do, I said, well, I need to be a brain doctor. I need to be a psychiatrist, psychologist. And the person said, you're 5. Why would you even say such a thing? And I said, because my mom needs my help. And as a child, we know that without the parent, the child is abandoned, and I knew that I needed to help her. And I spent my life trying to do everything that I could to support her, to give her love, and to be there for her. Of course, I didn't have the tools. I only had the love. And as it turns out, love is the most important tool to help people to heal. So I guess I had a little something going on. But it wasn't until years later that I would come to learn about bio and neurofeedback, and that's kind of where things took a major turn for me.
So you actually learned a lot of things along the way in what seemed like different fields in some cases, but somehow there was a thread that you were able to get this from this and this from this. But you've also had that. That's why I said this guiding, this guidance, or this mission, because you have been guided, or you are attracting, and you tell us, because the different modalities that you have taught and used throughout. I said to you at one point, I don't think anybody else could have created what you created. Like I'll just say one more thing. Like, if you had become a psychologist, or if you had become a brain doctor, I don't know that you would have been able to do this.
Well, I think the problem with people who decide what they're going to be is that they don't listen when God, our higher self, our, sort of unseen part of us that, some call the Lord and some people call their angels, whatever the heck you want to call it, as long as you call it. I think the difference is if you decide that you are X, then it kind of closes the door on what, for me, God wants to help to support me to be and to do. And by going inward and listening to the whisper, then maybe we can move in the direction of who we really truly are meant to be, if only we have the courage to stop trying to be something that we're not. And that, I think, allows us to get still enough to listen to that voice, to listen to the whisper. And that whisper guided me in the direction of, as you stated, many different modalities, many incredible teachers from Elizabeth Kubler-Ross to, I could go on and on making a list of people who took me under their wing. But it was at a time when I was experiencing pain from loss of my mom, challenges like we all have in our lives, then I turned to a biomolecular psychiatrist, which means she likes nutraceuticals versus pharmaceuticals. And she said, "You ought to try this neurofeedback." And I said, "Yeah, I don't think I'm putting electrodes on my head." And she said, "Well, then take Lexapro." And I said, "Well, I don't want to take Lexapro." And she said, "Well, go stick electrodes." I did. And then the long story short is that within 6 months, I was training how to do this neurofeedback. And after becoming a certified lens provider, which is an acronym for low energy neurofeedback system, it wasn't long before I had this vision and mission. What if there is some new advanced form of this technology? And I searched the world literally. I couldn't find it. And I had the naivete to believe that, my higher self, God, would help me to create it. And within 2 years, Iasis was born. It comes from the Greek Iasis, which means divine curative healing process. And it sounds like I assist you, I assist minus the T. And it was another 2 years after that that the University of California, San Diego, and the VA agreed to do the pilot study, which was to completely volunteer basis. We paid nothing for the study. Nobody made any money. It wasn't like there was some pocket being lined. And then that study published. And then in September of 23, University of Texas at Tyler study published, which was a mental health study, quality of life, they called it, and with a P of 95, which means 95 out of 100 times, it's going to have the desired result, which was basically an 85 to 95, depending on the individual and how serious their issues were. Reduction was observed in the participants in the study. Reduction in anxiety, reactivity, depression, and symptoms of PTSD. And that's really significant because, you know, again, mamas don't lie. Science doesn't lie either.
We're talking also traumatic brain injuries. We're talking neurological challenges. So let's talk about the science. I think most people have heard of biofeedback, right? And not that we've all done it, but is that a good place to bridge?
I think so. You know, when people hear the you know, of biofeedback, they're talking about something that is operant conditioning. They're playing a game, they're trying to change something on the screen, and it helps them through mindfulness training. They're learning how to calm their brain, their breath rate, their nervous system, their heart rate, etc. But neurofeedback, unlike the active process, is a passive process. It is totally non-invasive. The amount of energy is equal to about 1/100 of a AA battery for 1/100 of a second. People who go, oh, I don't know, electrodes. I go, wait a second. Do you ever hold your iPhone or your Android to your head? Yeah. It's like 1/1,000th of a cell phone. And so when people realize that it is so gentle, I mean, I have used it with a 4-week-old baby who could not sleep for the first 30 days of its life. One session, slept through the night like a champ, and the mom the next day sent a picture of this precious little 4-week-old baby saying, when can I get back in there for mama and baby? I mean, it's just mind-blowing how fast it is. 1 to 3 sessions of this, which takes maybe 15 to 20 minutes, half an hour if you're chatting with a person, how quick it is, how easy it is, and that it's available all over the country of the United States, but we're outside the U.S. as well. We're in Asia. We are in the Middle East. We're in Europe. We are in Panama, Canada, Mexico. We're all over the place and growing by leaps and bounds. But the most important thing is it's accessible, it's inexpensive, and it works. And to have something that, you know, that works that well, that swiftly, and that doesn't require more drugs to be thrown at a person, it can actually help people with their physician under that person's care to reduce not just the drug they're taking, but there's a research study that's underway right now for the reduction of polypharma with ISS, which means instead of taking 8 drugs, in a matter of just a few sessions, going from 8 to 4 to 2, and of course, not under my suggestion, but under the patient saying, gosh, I feel so much better. Well, absolutely. Go to your doctor. You will see you can actually titrate down with your doctor's help. And with so many different conditions, but especially trauma. So many people hold early wounding trauma. Body keeps the score. It holds it in the body. And, you know, you talk about the science and understanding the science. And without getting too heady with the science, we have a brake and we have a gas pedal. And the brake is called the parasympathetic. And the gas pedal gets us out of a tough spot, right? That's called the sympathetic. I call it sometimes not so sympathetic nervous system. And we've got to have a way to pull back on that brake to slow down. ISS, even in the first or second session, people report being way more chill, way more relaxed, super calm, as if they've just done a 2-hour meditation, and they tell us that they sleep better. Even people with insomnia, it diminishes cravings. But again, anxiety, depression. Imagine a little child finishing a session and asking the child, what are you noticing that's different? I feel happy. Where do you feel that? In my head. And then turning to the mother, looking at the mother's eyes, looking at the child, and I say, what would it be like if you could be this way all the time? And the little child looks at the mother and says, I would be so happy. You know, and I hear this all the time, whether it's a Marine or, you know, a mama or a child that's been bullied, or a person that's dealing with opioid addiction, it is incredibly helpful.
Barry, you have been working in this field with children and adults in so many different capacities. Yeah. Would you say this combines all that, or all the other stuff is still important, or this is a good place to start? What would you say?
I have to say, Filippo, I believe that we are the sum total of everything that we have studied and learned in our lives. But I felt like I knew nothing. And I felt like a blank slate. And I didn't know what to do at that point 15 years ago. And I prayed. And I said, please, please, God, help me. I really don't know what to do or where to go. And it felt like a divine intervention, honest to God. It, you know, when I went to Hyla Kasp, this doctor, and she said what she said to me and what to try, I felt like I was at the end of my rope, because I tried many different things, but it was one of those, I call it the dark night of the soul moments. And I feel like it was, you know, it was the universe's way of saying, walk down that road, I'll part the sea, you just walk. And I caught the ball and I was running through, you know, through the Red Sea, hoping that the walls would, you know, kind of allow me to get to the other side. And, you know, and a research study happened, and then another research study happened. And I'm going, wait a minute, how am I on a research study? So I had to get over imposter syndrome for a minute and realize that it wasn't about me. None of this is about me. This is about the screaming need of humanity, needing help from the chaos and from the pain and the suffering and the trauma that people are going through in this world. I just had an opportunity and a privilege to do something that could help me help so many other people. And I'm not alone in this. I am surrounded by individuals who I work with that are touching and helping the world. And ISIS is not the be-all, end-all. It is just one spoke on the wheel, but it is one heck of a spoke on the wheel. And it's not that those other modalities have lost importance. I think that they are all important, but when combined with numerous other modalities, whether it's bodywork, chiropractic, acupuncture, cranial sacral, trauma-informed care, you name it. There's so many different EMDR, eye movement desensitization reprocessing that is so helpful with trauma today, that so many brilliant therapists are working with that help to support people through trauma. And drugs have a place too. Look, you know, we can't say boo on medication. I wouldn't even be alive if it wasn't for medication. The problem is we have to stop over-medicating our public. And we have to, you know, thank God for RFK being in there now, because I hope that he will shine a light, not on what's good and bad and right and wrong, but what is helpful, what is skillful, and that we have to stop just throwing a panacea of a pill at someone and thinking that that's a solution. And that includes this technology. This is a technology that can do a lot, but behavior and behavior modification and therapeutic changes are critical, as trauma is being released from the body, and we do need a combination of therapy plus ISIS. And if we have that combination, now I think we're really moving down the road. And does it mean everybody needs a therapist? No. Some people can go talk to a clergy person. Some people can talk to their best friend, and some people can write it in their journal. The cheapest therapist I ever had that I've kept since I was 15 years of age.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's a whole other conversation. As a matter of fact, we've started like so many whole other conversations. So it feels like this is potentially the start of other conversations. In the meantime, I'm glad we're having this one. You know, actually, Barry, I should say you have been a big part of the show regardless for many, many years. We used as the introduction of the song, as you may recall, Just Believe, which was a song written, the music written by Marco Misinato and the lyrics written by you, Barry, Marco Misinato and myself, and sung by us. So thank you also for that, for being part of that. And so many of the lyrics, actually, and so many that were inspired by you, Just Believe, you have had to either just believe or get out of your own way or stop doubting or something. Because I have to say, you're in the same world that the most of us are living in, unless somebody's listening to this 20 years from now, which I trust it'll be a whole different, better world. But in the meantime, you're in the same world and you have a wife and children who you have raised successfully and beautifully and done all that and done all this, and here we are. So at one point you were sharing with me how you've been your greatest worst enemy or something. And I think, isn't that a lot of us?
Yes, it is, especially if we listen to that. I call it the, critic, judge, and above all, negative ego. We can't listen to that dark side. We can't allow ourselves to go down that rabbit hole. But unfortunately, depending on the velocity of trauma, the volume of trauma, what people endure, it isn't as simple as a slap across the face, snap out of it. If only Cher was right, but we can't just snap out because it doesn't work that way. And that's where ISIS comes in. And even people who have their arms crossed, their legs crossed, and their eyes crossed, and they're saying, "You can't help me, no one can help me." Guess what? I've seen it help people who really believed that nothing could, and had lost all hope. And here's the bottom line. When we feel better in our body and diminished anxiety and depression and stress in our body, what returns? Hope. And when we have hope, the world opens up to us and we can listen to the messages of what comes next and never give up. Because the greatest gift that God has given us is our life. Please don't throw it away. Listen, if you're hearing my voice, go online, find isistech.com, ISISTECH.com. Go in the site, the part of the front page that says client entry. Look at the banner, find a practitioner, locate one, put in your zip code. Try this. At least try. You have nothing to lose. And it may give you the hope that you feel you have lost to change your life for the better.
So isistech.com, ISISTECH.com, correct?
Yes.
So the one of the many interesting things here is that there have been so many things that you could come on the show and talk about. This technology seems like it encompasses so much and is like, I know you're not done. I know there are so many more things that you're going to do. However, this feels like, as much as the others have felt like, that's good, go do that, go do that, you know, this feels like there's something here for everyone. Now, so much money is put, this is not a commercial because you're not actually selling something. People can't actually buy this per se, unless they're technicians and unless they want to offer this to the public, right?
Exactly.
So, or clinicians, I should say. So the interesting thing is so much money gets put into the drug advertisements and the commercials and the this and the that. So I am glad we're able to have this conversation, and I hope more to bring this kind of technology to people. And it sounds like it's, there's going to be a wave here. Like, this is just the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that in my heart. I have a vision. We've now stepped into the corridors of the VA, San Diego VA Medical Center. We have people in other VA centers throughout the country that are going to very seriously look at this because of the fact that the first VA has brought us inside. I've trained numerous people. They're excited about it. It won't be long before this will be very much no longer the best kept secret, but the best known opportunity for children, for teens, for people of all ages, and all folks have to do is try the thing. And so many people have actually heard of microcurrent neurofeedback, but caution, there are microcurrent neurofeedback and there's microcurrent neurofeedback. We have the science, we have the, you know, the research behind it, and there isn't any other ISIS except ISIS microcurrent neurofeedback, and it's important to distinguish that. And, you know, because there are always people out there that want to say, you know, we've got that, but in fact they don't. Not to confuse the fact that there are a lot of wonderful modalities out there that I think have tremendous credence, but I would be cautious to you know, really kind of check it out, you know, caveat emptor, buyer beware, and make sure you know where you're going and what you're doing. And if you check our site out, you'll see who is a certified ISIS practitioner with a license, a doctor or a mental health expert, or a technician that works under them. It's available, it's out there, and it's a very inexpensive treatment for people to get. It's within grasp of people to do it, and I think worth trying. Especially, we see so many people in the 11th hour, you know, when they've tried everything, they don't know what else to do. Then, you know, why not try something that you know there's science behind, and it certainly can't hurt. We have doctors that say that I wouldn't hesitate to use it on a baby, on a pregnant woman, on anybody at any age, in any condition. And when you have MDs like Frank Schallenberger, who you mentioned, saying what I just said, you know, doctors take that very seriously to heart.
Innovative technologies and holistic healing for stress, anxiety, PTSD, and as you've heard, so much more. Our guest is Barry Bruder. I almost want to say Dr. Barry Bruder, who has researched this, who's also an educator and the co-founder here and innovator of this technology. We have links along with the one that was just mentioned, ISIS, ISISTECH, ISISTECH.com. It's on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and we also have an introductory video, which you'll also find on their website, but it's also on the Life Changes Show website for Barry Bruder, B-A-R-R-Y-B-R-U-D-E-R. Barry, there is so much more than we can talk about. In the meantime, we can leave people to go and check this out and potentially get helped by it. In the meantime, what can we look forward to potentially the next time we talk from Barry Bruder?
Well, I'm very excited to share with everybody that we have new iterations of the technology that we are working diligently on that by hopefully the fall will be available. And then even beyond that, another iteration. And at some point in the next couple of years, a home-based device so that people can actually work to support themselves with such a device that will be very inexpensive and something that they can utilize in the comfort of their own home. We talked about this. I keep having people yell at me, write your book. And I'm going, when? I'm already working 100 hours a week. My board chair, Larry Wedekind, and his wife, Jen, who are very dear to me, who run Matthew's Hope Foundation. Matthew died of an opioid overdose complications a number of years ago, and they are behind abstinence-based form of recovery, matthewshope.org. And I would love for folks to check that out. And they are always yelling at me, you have to have a day of Sabbath. And it's so hard because I'm working so hard to help so many people and to help to keep ISS moving down the field and helping people who need my help. And I feel like God wants me to help as many people as I can, but I'm working on more balance in my older age. So I hope that I'll be able to share more with you about all of these various aspects of my blessed world that I'm so grateful to live in. I'm so thankful for you and Mark for the privilege of sharing about ISS technologies with all of your beautiful listeners. And I absolutely welcome anybody to write me, and I will write them back. And I'm sure you'll make it available so that they can find me. And nothing would honor me more than the privilege of being with you ever in person or on Life Changes. And I'm so proud of you, Filippo, for all the years that you have dedicated with Dorothy and Mark to this extremely important, life-changing, worthwhile endeavor of your beautiful show. Thank you for touching and bringing people like myself to have the gift of sharing with your audience.
Thank you, Barry, for that. It's been a pleasure. I can't wait for more. And again, thank you for what you're doing. Proud of you. And ISS Tech and other links you'll find at the Life Changes Show page or at any of the links after you've gone to like ISSTech.com. Barry Bruder, until next time, all the best to you, my friend. And thank you.
Blessings.
Wow. So the heart, the technology, we heard it, we felt it, and the stories, Barry's got stories. Actually, Mark, I didn't I'm not one of the ones that said write your book because I already was like, I don't know how you're doing this already. I said sleep. I think you should sleep is what I think I said. But I think I did end our conversation with you need to go on tour doing your lectures because I used to hear him lecture and the stories. Dorothy's nodding.
Well, I'm glad that he didn't take your advice.
What, lecturing?
Sleeping.
Oh.
Because he wouldn't have gotten all this done. And listening to him, reflecting on everything he said, it made me think about how far we've come from stop crying, suck it up, and walk it off. There's so much wonderful innovation, and when experts like Barry have the opportunity to be seen and to be heard, and for more people of all ages to be able to come into contact with this innovation, it's a good day.
You know what, actually, and thank you for saying that because I am going to ask of him, it's like a bio that includes the things that he's actually not only done, but become an expert in or taught, or because that is so foundational to that's why I say I almost want to say doctor, because he's had all those hours and all those hours in clinic supporting people. So all of that also supports people in getting them to listen.
Oddly enough, that whole dynamic is changing as well, because the idea of doctor and or certain certifications is shifting to people that really have the decades of experience, that really have decades of testimonials of real life. It's kind of like the old entrepreneur that didn't go to college, but you know, we know a few of them, some pretty big names.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Didn't get the certificate per se, but had the street experience.
Yeah, good point. Interesting. Well, we can go on and on for sure, but with that, it's time for our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Maggie, and I'm excited because more and more coincidences seem to occur daily with the ones I love. I'm beginning to believe that these are synchronicities rather than coincidences, because they appear to be more about being in alignment with my loved ones. Could this be what is happening?
Dearest Maggie, I am excited for you and happy to say that what you're describing could very well be synchronicities rather than just coincidences. Carl Jung, who coined the term synchronicity, described it as meaningful coincidences that seem to have a deeper significance, as if events are aligning in a way that transcends normal cause and effect. I believe you're noticing a deeper and a more mystical connection with your loved ones, one that feels more purposeful than mere chance. It appears to me that these experiences might be reflecting a growing alignment or resonance with the people you love, almost as if the universe is orchestrating moments that reinforce the bond between you all. Synchronicities often emerge when we are in tune with our inner selves or with the people we feel deeply connected to, as if the energy around us is reflecting that harmony. So, dear Maggie, my question for you is this. Do any of the specific coincidences feel especially significant to you? Like moments where you felt you were thinking the same thought at the same time, or when something happened that seemed too perfectly timed to be random. That might give you more insight into how this alignment is manifesting in your life. I thank you for this timely question, and I lovingly suggest that you begin keeping a journal of these coincidences. And after a month or so, you will have a record of some significant events that could only be described as synchronicities.
And it's no coincidence that if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
Nice. And with that, our performance guest this evening is a indie folk singer, songwriter, musician, and sea captain. Welcome, Noah Solt, to the Life Changes Show.
Hello.
Hello. It's great to have you on, you and your music and the stories we're going to tell.
Great to be here, Filippo. Thanks for having me.
I said to you when we first spoke, I said, you sound like your music is very old. And you said, I'm 23 years old.
Right.
But where does the old come in?
I actually had a thought the other day, which is, you know, since we're all alive at the same time, if you zoom out in the history of humanity, we're all kind of living in the same era, same age, even though we have, you know, our different places in our lives, we're kind of all here together, you know? So I think most of my wisdom comes from the people that have taught me, came before me. So I'm lucky enough to tap into people that have been around longer than myself.
You tapped into the ocean at a very young age, but you were far from it, at least seemingly. Where were you raised and how did the ocean come into your life?
Right. Yeah, I was raised in Colorado, landlocked. And my godfather is a underwater photographer, and I was hearing a lot of ocean stories growing up and piqued my curiosity.
And now you're a sea captain. So how does that connect to what you're doing musically?
It's a great question. How can I say everything at once? Yeah, I think my time on the ocean, I spent 3 years across the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic twice and lived in the Caribbean. And my time on the ocean has forever changed me. It's put a lot of things in perspective. It's written in everything that I do. Yeah.
So for some reason, I was picturing you by yourself out there on the wide open ocean. And in a sense, you said, oh no, there are four of us. But then when you described how it works with like up four or however many, you are by yourself.
Yeah, you have a lot of alone time, especially when you're with so few people for so long. You kind of get to a point that there's not much left to say between you. And yeah, you get a lot of time to be in the presence of the ocean with just you and your thoughts. And oh, I'm so grateful for that time. Yeah.
And people are sleeping also because you're all in different watches.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's really just you and the boat.
So I asked you, can it be scary at times?
Yeah, and the answer that I gave you is that it can be, yes, in the storms, but really I thought that it would be a lot more scary before I went sailing. But once I was in the process, once I was within it, and I had taken all the steps to get there, I realized that it wasn't so scary, and that in fact when you're out in the open ocean, all the things that bring you to that place prepares you to be there.
So much of this relates to life. I'd really love to dig into it, but we want to get into your music. So, one other thing that I want to talk about, how you actually write, because not a lot of musicians write like this. How do you write a song?
Yeah,
What's your process?
we talked about this earlier. I've found that freeing myself to just put everything on the page and not judge myself as I'm writing, just to let it flow out of me, even if I think it's not so good. I just let it kind of fumble out of me, and then I go back afterwards and reduce, and I reduce and reduce and reduce, and it's a way of practicing kind of reducing something to its essence. And I could talk forever about it, but that's kind of the gist about it. It's just reducing something to its clearest way of being.
So you could talk forever about it, but you've just reduced it to its clearest way of being.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's hear one of your reductions. This is
Yes.
in the form of a song, Old Star. Speaking of old, so Old Star, tell us what you want about it, or shall we just play it?
Why don't we play it? I can say something afterwards.
Yeah? Okay. Can I at least say that this comes from the album that just dropped, at least this is the first piece that has dropped from the album being The Flight of Falling Leaves. There's got to be more there too, but we'll leave it at that for now. So we'll get to hear Noah Saltz, Old Star here, pre-recorded on the Life Changes show.
Fire, I can feel its warmth again. I could rest myself tonight with many miles ahead. Alone, we'll set out before the star. To the east, we'll make our start before the dawn breaks in. Thank you. holding my hands to the fire. I can feel its warmth again. I could rest myself tonight with many miles away. Winding are the paths we'll take. Send the pipes out to the window, hear their chime. An answer in your name. In the shadow hangs a star, an old familiar face, an old familiar face, an old star.
Assault, no assault, NoahSolt. Find him at noahsolt.com and on Facebook, Instagram, Apple Music, YouTube. We have all the links at Life Changes Show for Noah Solt. Noah, what shall we say about that?
I am overflowing right now getting to hear that in this space. Thank you for sharing. When you're sailing on the ocean, you can't quite exactly see where you've come from. You look behind you and you can see your glittering wake kind of stretching off and into the vast formlessness of the blue, you know? And you have your intention of where you want to go and you look ahead of you, but you can't quite see where you're going to fetch up on the horizon either. And so what it becomes about is kind of bringing yourself back to the present moment, noticing the wind, which you can't control, and adjusting yourself to it. And in that space, kind of coming back to where you are, if I'm taking the metaphor for like myself, you know, when I come back to that present moment and I arrive to that present moment as I am, and I start noticing the things in my own life that I would otherwise not see if I was focused on the past or the future, I'm able to see so much more. We're such incredibly sensitive, attuned beings when we kind of drop into that space. And I forget all the time, you know? And so these songs for me, the reason that it's called Old Star is because music for me and this process of bringing my thoughts forward is like a guiding star of intention where I can remember to come back to the moment because I'm always going to forget, you know? So it's this kind of recollection, returning, coming back to here. That's what the song is for me.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah. I knew there was more. And The Falling Leaves, the name of the album?
Yeah, it's kind of the idea of not being able to control the wind and allowing yourself to be moved. It's like what your previous guest was saying, which I love how enthusiastic he is about his work, helping people. So inspiring. He was talking about not prescribing what you think you are, what you want to be, and allowing yourself to crack that door to potentially allowing life to, you know, shape you in a different way, and you know, having discernment that you're not allowing yourself to be hurt. But that's the idea, is allowing life to move, through us.
The album is called The Flight of Falling Leaves, and in a moment we're going to get to hear a world premiere, which is the next release from the album, which is not out yet. So that's very exciting. But before we go there, a little more of the wisdom, if you will, Noah. What did you think in the first 14 years of your life before you picked up a guitar that life was going to be like? Or did you have a thought about it?
That's a wonderful question. I honestly, I think I was pretty aloof as a kiddo. I was happy as can be, but I wasn't really embracing the things that made me uncomfortable. I was kind of detached and a little disassociated, and I had such a beautiful childhood. But nonetheless, I was a little bit aloof. And there was a time when I reached puberty that it all kind of came crashing down at once. And I realized that people sometimes, say things that they don't mean exactly, or people think I'm weird, or it's a natural thing at that time of our lives. And guitar was a way for me to, and music was a way for me to touch a bit of a deeper part of myself and engage with that discomfort. And not push it away, but rather allow it to move through, and I was obsessive about music right away because of that.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you were able to use that for your benefit and the benefit of all that enjoy your music. I have to say, I don't know if it's a natural thing. I think it's something that we might have been taught and we might be passing on because potentially it could be different. And speaking of different, a lot of people would criticize, speaking of, somebody who says, oh, I'm going to do music, or oh, I'm going to sail the seas. But in your world,
In my world, when I started playing music, I was not naturally good right away. There's a learning curve. And instead of being judged by how good I was at something, the people who loved me saw that I loved something, and they encouraged me because they saw that I loved it. They weren't fixed on the outcome, and they allowed me to kind of flop around. You think about little kids, if they're not so good at talking, we don't say they're terrible. We encourage them. We're like, oh, you said your first word. It's so beautiful, and you're so cute, and we're learning how to talk around professional talkers. So in the same way, music and sailing for me was a gift that I was surrounded by quote unquote professionals who allowed me to not be professional without judging me.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
Wow, how
beautiful.
cool is that?
Super cool. I'm so fortunate.
Wow. Well, we're so fortunate to have found you and gotten to experience your music. I know we've been enjoying it ourselves, including this next upcoming one before very many people have gotten to hear it. So I would think you're going to say something before we hear it.
Yeah, Willow. I actually wrote this song with my dear friend Cameron, right before him and I, on a whim, went to backpack through Patagonia. And while we were in Patagonia, we decided to record the album, and he is my producer on the album. So shout out to Cameron Reichert, my dear friend. And Willow, the lyric in the song that stands out to me is, "The rain is here to wash us clean." And it's the idea that in the midst of the storm of the discomfort that arrives in our lives with all the velocity, right, of discomfort, that actually that discomfort can be such a beautiful thing. It can be a guide to help us understand ourselves better, and not to push it away, but to kind of go dance in the rain.
Okay, an invitation to go dance in the rain. Well, here it is, world premiere of Willow, pre-recorded here before it officially comes out, drops on March 12th, 2025. here on the Life Changes Show by Noah Salt.
Tell me I'm a rolling stone, they tell me I'm a fighter, but I don't know. Will you be my place to go when it all comes down? Would you hold my hand? If you hold it easy, then we can dance, dance like a storm. Storm holds the rain, rains come to wash us clean. Storm holds the rain, rains come to wash us clean, I said. Rains come to wash us
keep wanting to say Captain Salt, by the way. I'm not sure why. It just feels good. You hear that?
Yes. Heard. I'll take it, man. I'm in.
But in the meantime, Noah Salt, NoahSolt.com is his website, but you can find him on Facebook, Instagram, same name, Apple Music, and YouTube. You can find the links at the Life Changes Show page for Noah Salt. Noah, so much wisdom in your music. All the best for Break a Leg when it drops, and all the subsequent songs that are going to drop off this album as the album gets released, The Flight of Falling Leaves. Speaking of wisdom, I'd love to end the show, since we have you, with one more piece of wisdom. If you remember, or maybe you'll come up with something entirely different, but I said to you, I get the feeling like you're never bored.
Yeah, you did ask about that. I love that you asked that question. We are incredibly sensitive beings. Like our senses are our magic. It's our way of interacting with the world. And there is so much to see if you look with curiosity. And it's sometimes difficult to remember, you know? And that's kind of what we're all here for, I think. We're all here to help remind each other and to be mirrors and reflections for each other and help each other engage with the world and see the beauty that surrounds us and, you know, bring the discomfort in and, you know, transmute it and alchemize it all together and live well. So thanks for having me on the show. Definitely not bored, that's for sure.
Well, and so it is. Thank you for sharing your music, your stories, your wisdom, and being with us tonight. Noah Sult, what a big pleasure. All the best to you.
Thank you. Cheers.
And another big thank you to our interview guest, Barry Bruder. And with that, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark LeJour, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.